Welcome to My Father's House podcast, episode 3, Hearing His Voice in 2018. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on January 14th, 2018.
Amen. So turn to your neighbor and say you're in the right place today. Because Jesus is Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, greet somebody next to you and then have a seat. Praise the Lord.
Panic in paradise today. An accidental alert went out across Hawaii urging people to take shelter due to an incoming ballistic missile. The false alarm was eventually called off, but not before Hawaiians and tourists started scrambling, even saying their goodbyes. Carter Evans has the latest details.
The emergency alert caused pandemonium when it went out to cell phones this morning across the islands, and it did not mince words. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, it said. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. The false alert also went out on local TV.
The U.S. Pacific Command has detected a missile threat to Hawaii.
And prompted evacuation announcements.
Please report to the lobby to receive direction.
Desperate parents put their children into manholes. Terrified families huddled in closets. Others shared what they thought could be their final goodbyes.
And I just want to know that I love you guys.
We thought this was it.
Laurie Callies and her family ran to their basement for cover.
My 95-year-old mother, who we were not going to say anything to until we had all the information, who lives in a retirement community here, called us on the phone and she said, I can't get on the floor. I can't get on the floor. And she survived Pearl Harbor.
That terror soon turned to anger.
I said, heads better roll on this one.
Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz tweeted, there is no missile threat. It was a false alarm based on human error. CBS News spoke to him on the phone.
Regardless of whether it's human error or a computer glitch or a hack, whatever it was, it's totally unacceptable. And there needs to be better accountability.
It took 38 minutes for emergency management officials to correct the mistake.
I encourage them to just go ahead and tweet out no missile threat. I don't know how much longer we would have been waiting.
Hawaii Governor David Ige now says a worker pushed the wrong button during a shift change, sending the warning out to the entire state. The Federal Communications Commission is now investigating. Rena?
Carter Evans, thank you, Carter.
Yes, thank you, Carter. Praise the Lord forever. You know, 2018 would be really a great, great, great time to hear his voice, wouldn't it? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, how to hear his voice in 2018. But listen to this prediction from Jesus from Luke chapter 21, verse 25. He said, and there will be strange signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And here on earth, the nation will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and the strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. For the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the cloud with great power and glory. So when all these things begin to happen, look up, for your salvation is near. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the signs of the times that we can read loudly and clearly, because we know that you're coming back soon, Jesus, not just to take your people home, but to be the King of kings and Lord of lords and the judge of all creation. We just ask you, Father, this day, that like never before and clearer than ever before, we will hear your voice in these times, Lord, in this day, in these hours, when everybody is terrified, when men's hearts are failing them for fear. We ask you, Lord, that your people would stand up strong in you and the power of your might, having on your armor, filled with your spirit, full of your presence, full of your precious anointing, and always hearing your voice. Thank you that you are the good shepherd, Jesus. Your sheep hear your voice, and the voice of the stranger they'll not follow. Thank you, Jesus, for the great and precious promises of your word, through which we're partakers of your divine nature. And we give you glory and honor and thanks like never before. So, Lord, make this a great year. Make it an awesome year. Make it a year that we really, really, really hear your voice clearly, loudly, plainly, definitely, and can respond to it in a way that is pleasing to you and brings blessing to others. And for it, we give you all the glory and honor and thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that you could go to that talk about God speaking to people. In fact, from Genesis to Revelation, it really is about God speaking to people. He's talking, and some people recorded the things that he said. And thankfully for us in our generation, where we've got the book we can look to, we can hear his voice through his word, because all of these other folks lived it. And, of course, he hasn't stopped speaking today. And in a sense, in that sense at least, the Bible is still being written, because it's being written in your life, in my life, in our lives together. And it's just an ongoing thing. God has never stopped speaking. People have stopped listening, but God has never stopped speaking. And his voice can be clearly heard, as clearly heard today as it was in those days that the scriptures were written. In the Old Testament, one of the stories that I've chosen today is the story of Jacob. You know, Jacob had kind of an upside-down life. He had an interesting beginning when he was coming out of his mother's womb, when he was being birthed. He was actually the second born of a twins. And the Bible says that he came out of the womb gripping the foot, the heel of his brother. And his mother had a word from God, though. His mother had the word that that boy would be the one who would have the blessing, would have the inheritance, and would have everything. A word that she hung on to, and maybe to her discredit, sometimes tried to help God. But it was a word from God that she had about that young lad that came out ripping the heel of the brother. He was supposed to come first, and then he ended up coming second because brother got ahead of him. But all through Jacob's life, he pretty much had troubles until he began to wrestle with God and settled it once and for all. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 30, it's kind of a story that chronicles the woes of Jacob as his chickens come home to roost. You know, chickens come home to roost. That's an expression, I guess, from Nebraska or somewhere, you know. But for those of you who are not, from maybe that background, it means that the stuff you've done is going to come back to haunt you. Or you get a reward according to what you've planted, what you've sowed, you're going to reap. But Jacob, the Bible says, instead of waiting on God and listening to God and just waiting for God to act and move, at the prompting of his mother, he actually deceived his father in order to get his birthright and to get the inheritance. First, he got his brother to sell him the birthright for a pot of soup because his brother was hungry. And he said, well, you know, what's a birthright when you're hungry? I guess he's a man after some men's hearts, right? But anyway, for a pot of soup, he sold his birthright. And then when it came time to get the blessing, the mother and this young boy, this young lad, Jacob, began to conspire with each other in order to deceive the father, so that not only did Jacob get the blessing, the birthright, but he also got the father's blessing, his final blessing before he departed and went the way of men to the grave. And Jacob became known as a deceiver. Actually, that's what his name meant. It was a supplanter or a deceiver. Jacob was a trickster. But then, as we get into Genesis chapter 30, it begins to show us what happens to the tricksters in life. They meet another trickster who's a better trickster than them. And so the Bible says, because Jacob ran from his father and mother's home, and he was running for his life because his brother now really hated him. First he got the birthright, and now he got the blessing. He ran from home, and he went to his uncle's place in another area, another land. And there he met a deceiver that was bigger than him. And his uncle messed with him, tricked him about his wives, the daughters that Jacob married, tricked him about his wages, messed with him the whole time he was there, squandered the money that he basically paid for the wives, and life was a mess for Jacob. And he was running from himself now. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 31 this morning, and let's learn from Jacob what a word from God can do. Because in the middle of being tricked and cajoled by his uncle, Jacob came to the place where he just needed to rely on God in order to make him a way where there wasn't any way. In Genesis chapter 31, the first verse, it says, "But Jacob soon learned that Laban's sons were grumbling about him. 'Jacob has robbed our father of everything,' they said. 'He has gained all of his wealth at our father's expense.' And Jacob began to notice a change in Laban's attitude toward him." That's his uncle. "Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Return to the land of your father and your grandfather and to the relatives there, and I will be with you.'" So here we have here we hear the voice of God. God is speaking to Jacob. "So Jacob called Rachel and Leah out to the field where he was watching his flock, and he said to them, 'I have noticed that your father's attitude toward me has changed, but the God of my father has been with me. You know how hard I've worked for your father, but he has cheated me, changing my wages 10 times. But God has not allowed him to do me any harm. For if he said, 'The speckled animals will be your wages,' the whole flock began to produce speckled young. And when he changed his mind and said, 'The striped animals will be your wages,' then the whole flock produced striped young. In this way, God has taken your father's animals and given them to me. One time during the mating season, I had a dream, and I saw that the male goats were mating with the females that were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then in my dream, the angel of God said to me, 'Jacob.' And I replied, 'Yes, here I am.' And the angel said, 'Look up, and you will see that only the streaked, speckled, and spotted males are mating with the females of your flock. For I have seen how Laban has treated you. I am the God who appeared to you at Bethel, the place where you anointed the pillar of stone and made your vow to me. Now get ready and leave this country and return to the land of your birth.' Rachel and Leah responded, 'That's fine with us. We won't inherit any of our father's wealth anyway. He's reduced our rights to those of foreign women. And after he sold us, he wasted the money you paid him for us. And all the wealth God has given you from our father legally belongs to us and to our children. Go ahead and do whatever God has told you.'" Really, really interesting story, isn't it? It's a story of a family. You know, they could have been spared a lot of trouble if the mother and the father of Jacob had just got together, talked it over, talked to God, listened to him, and obeyed what he said. But when they began to take things into their own hands and do things their own way, things went awry. And it's the same today with everybody, really, because when we start doing it our way instead of his way, and start listening to the voices around us instead of his voice, then we make mistakes. Then we get into trouble. And then we need big time help. And yet, God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. Aren't you thankful for that? And he's brought us through, even though we've made many mistakes, even though we've sometimes rebelled against him, even though sometimes we've just ignored his voice. He still is a God of blessing. He's still a God that on purpose continues to speak into our lives. Now, we can shut his voice out. We can stop listening to him. We can close it off. But he's ever kind and merciful, and he's always speaking. So when we open ourselves up to his voice and hear his voice, like Jesus said, he becomes our good shepherd. His sheep hear his voice, and the voice of the stranger they will not follow. So as we look into 2018 and we see all of these things happening around us and all the chaos that's in the world around us, it's in the government, it's in the workplace, it's in families, it's in homes, it's even in the church, there's problems and troubles and situations and circumstances everywhere. We can be sure of one thing, that God has the answer. And when we hear his voice, we can know and take it to the bank that this is the way you should go. He says, this is the way, here it is, now you walk in it. And when we do that, it's a good way. You know, sometimes it doesn't always make sense to the head. Sometimes it always doesn't make sense to the people around us. Especially many times it doesn't make sense to people around us because they're not hearing the same voice you're hearing. And they're not following the same Lord that you're following. But when you hear his voice, you can be sure and confirm it through the scriptures and test it with other people who have heard from God as well. And you can know that you're on the right track, you're in the right place. Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 19, starting with verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. These verses, they really outline God's established integrity. So when God gives you a word, or when he speaks to you in your heart, it becomes revelation knowledge. And that revelation knowledge is what you need in order to conduct your life and to go forward with the things that you face. Jacob, when he had a revelation word from God, he knew exactly what to do about those spotted and speckled sheep that he needed to produce. When Laban changed his wages, God just showed him how to change the whole situation. One word from God can change everything in your life. But let's take a look at verse 7 again. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. What does that mean? It means it's blameless, reviving the soul. A law is a rule of conduct or action that's laid down or enforced by a supreme governing authority. Or a law could be a rule, a principle stating something that's always works in the same way under the same conditions. So if it says the law of the Lord is perfect, then his word to us, his law, his word to us is perfect, it's blameless, and it always works. And so if we put our reliance, our trust in that kind of a word, then we can know for sure that the outcome is going to be okay even when it seems like the circumstances are contrary. The second part of verse 7 says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What's a testimony? Testimony is a first-hand authentication of a fact. It's evidence of the truth of something. So if the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, what that means is that the wisdom of God can come to you from the testimony that you find or that you receive from the Lord. So when we read the Word of God, we see basically the whole of the testimony from the book of Genesis to Revelation. We see the testimony of the Lord, and that word can become revelation to us, and it can bring wisdom to us. If there's ever been a need for wisdom, it's probably 2018 when all this crazy stuff is going on around us. Because out of wisdom, we begin to know how to use the knowledge that God has imparted to us. Wisdom can take the knowledge and put it into and put it into practice or implement it so that your understanding or your knowledge of facts, your knowledge of situations and circumstances can be channeled in the right direction in order to produce a result that's good for you. Praise the Lord. In verse 8, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. What's a precept? A precept is a command or a principle that's intended especially as a general rule of action. So the precepts of the Lord, rejoicing the heart. One of the big issues with people these days is that there's a huge amount of depression around. You know, people are taking all kinds of antidepressants and all kinds of stuff to fix themselves. But really what they need is they need the precepts of the Lord operating in their life. They need the commands or the principles intended, especially as a general rule of action in their lives, to operate. And then they wouldn't need the antidepressants because their heart would begin to rejoice in the things of God because he's imparted something to them. The next part of that verse says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. What's a commandment? Well, a commandment is something that's commanded. I guess it's not rocket science, right? We understand a command is a command, is a command, is a command, right? So the commandment of the Lord is pure, and it says it enlightens the eyes. So when we look at God's word in a different way, we don't look at it as something that hinders us or something that puts us down or something that holds something back from us. We see that the commandment of God is something different. There's a purity to it. There's a purity to it that brings enlightenment. Enlightening means that you bring light on the subject. You bring light on the situation. You bring light to the circumstance. And when there's light, then you can see clearly. The problem with most people is they just don't see things clearly. And the reason they don't see things clearly is because they're filled with depression and fear and all of those other things around are coloring the circumstance and situations that they find themselves in. And they need enlightenment in order to shine light on the situation so that they can go in the right direction. The purpose of light is so that you don't stumble in darkness. And God is light. Amen. He is the light. And when he brings these precepts to you, these commandments to you, these principles to you, it shines light on your life. It shines light on the path that you should go. And you begin to understand, at least in your heart, you begin to understand the direction that you should take. A lot of times, you know, people can fool us, people can baffle us, they can mess with us, and things and circumstances and situations can seem so overwhelming, but when God's light begins to shine on it, suddenly a certain clarity begins to come to your circumstance and situation in your heart. And when you begin to know it in your heart, then you can reprocess it with your mind and begin to take a direction that maybe didn't look like the direction you would have taken any other way, but now something has happened on the inside and you just know that you know that you know that you know. You have a revelation, we say, of this is the way I should go. And it doesn't matter then what people say or people think or how it seems or, you know, what's going on around you can still be really messed up, but you just know inside, you just know. This is God's way for me. And you can have a peace on the inside in the midst of the chaos that's around you, knowing that you're on the right track. You're going down the right road. You haven't missed it. And whatever people think about it is immaterial because God is your source of direction, your source of wisdom. And then in verse 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Fear in this sense is not being afraid of God, but fear in this sense is having a reverence or a profound reverence or awe for the Lord. In other words, we have a place of respect for God that we wouldn't give to anybody else or any other thing or any other kind of entity in life. We have a respect for this God. So it says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. So one of the things about the direction from God is that when you have it in your heart and you know that this is the direction to go, is that you know that he's not going to change his mind about stuff. You know, people are fickle. They change their minds. One day it's this way, next day it's that way. Sometimes it seems like it should go this way. Sometimes it seems like it should go that way. And people are tossed back and forth like the wave of the sea that it talks about in the book of James. But the Bible says, you know, we should come to a God and ask in faith and know for sure that we believe that when we have his answer, we've got the right way. So the fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. It lasts. It's the same yesterday. It's the same today. It's the same forever. You know that when you got it from God, it doesn't matter what others think or doesn't matter which way the winds are blowing. It's clean. It's pure. It's good. And it endures. Praise the Lord. So then the last one, it says the rules of the Lord. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Righteous means that it's the right way to go. It's the God way. It's righteous. It's righteous altogether. The rules, or you could say the just decrees of the Lord. In other words, when God speaks, there isn't some kind of shadow, some kind of negative, some kind of maybe this way, maybe that way. His word is the truth that sets people free. And his rules, his just decrees, they're true and they're righteous altogether. A rule is a prescribed guide or a conduct or an action. So when God issues his rules, you know, sometimes people think about rules, they think, well, that's just restrictive. That's putting the lid on me. I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do the other thing. But when you see the positive side to God's rules, his prescribed guide for conduct, then you can begin to see that there's some sense to this. There's some good aspect to this because the rules and decrees of God are always true. Now, men can set up some rules and regulations and stuff that's not based on truth, but God's are true and they're righteous. They're right. They're the right thing. And so they set us on the right track. So when in these verses we begin to see the integrity of God, we see that he exalts his word above his name, we can understand that when God is speaking to us, that truth, when it's revelation inside of us, is the kind of truth that sets us free. Jesus said that if we abide in his word and his words abide in us, then we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. It all has to do with following him, being a disciple of his. So God completely revolutionizes lives. I mean, he just renovates them totally. And if we allow him to do that to us, then we can have the kind of life that instead of being the problem, we can be part of the solution. And heading into 2018, there's going to be plenty of people that you can help, that you can reach out to, that you can lift out of their problems, their situations, and their circumstances, because God has a word for you. He has a word for you in 2018. In fact, he probably has more than one word for you. But he has a guiding word for you. And if you'll go by that guiding word and just seek him about that guiding word for this year, you'll be on course to be a blessing to many people that are around you. You're here for a purpose. You're not here just to take up space or to take oxygen out of the air. You're here to see through God's plan, purpose, and destiny for your life. And when you hear his voice and not follow the voice of the stranger, he completely begins to renovate you on the inside, begins to revolutionize your life. And he can do that with one word. Just one word to Jacob. In Genesis 31, in between verses 10 and 12 there, God instructed him concerning the streaked, the spotted, and the speckled sheep. And with that one word, Jacob, he developed a process of breeding the sheep that gradually converted the entire flock to his ownership. I mean, it was like an amazing thing. His uncle was cheating him. His uncle was trying to figure out every way to make sure that he didn't get it. Because when Jacob initially agreed to the wages that he got for having the spotted and the speckled sheep, the first thing that Laban did was he told his sons, take all the spotted, speckled, and streaked ones and the black ones, take them out and take them a distance away to make sure, basically, that Jacob would get none because only the white sheep were breeding the white sheep. But God, with a word, showed him how to get around that situation. And when he obeyed God's word and stepped out in faith in that dream and that vision that God had given him, it totally changed the circumstance. And everything that his uncle tried to wreck the deal, all of it went awry and none of it worked. And Jacob just became more and more wealthy. And, of course, then he earned the disrespect and the hatred of his cousins, his uncle's sons. And so there were still problems, but he was prospering because God had given him this word. So God sees, really, the dilemma that you're in. You may not think he's looking or watching, or maybe he hasn't heard you, but he really sees the problems that you face. He sees the troubles that you have. He sees the situations that you're in. He sees things that are caused by other people, maybe, that are around you. And when he sees those things, whether it's with an oppressive employer or a difficult marriage partner or some other strained relationship, he can give you one word of wisdom that will change everything. That one word is what we would call revelation. And when you have a revelation inside to guide your life and to act upon, everything changes. It's a game changer. It's a life changer. Because that one word from God is your destiny about to happen as you step into that word. Through dreams and visions, the Holy Spirit communicates to your mind something that is in the mind of God, something that's in the heart of God. And when he's communicating with you, and when you receive those things, whether it's through a dream or through a vision or just a word in your heart or a scripture that comes alive to you, as Tanya was sharing about happened to her niece, it's awesome, you know, when something becomes revelation. I mean, the excitement of a young girl getting it for the first time is an amazing thing, but we could have that excitement every day when God gives us just the word for the day. So when you're looking into your 2018, let's look for that word that God has for you, because he wants to do that for you. In Jacob's case, it made no sense to put those peeled rods in front of the sheep, but he did it anyway, just out of obedience. I mean, it's just a crazy idea. But that word from God brought him success, and it brought him wealth, even in the face of his uncle trying to undo everything that God was doing. When God is your source, he becomes an enemy to your enemies. And when God is your source, he's the greatest potential for your victory that you could ever want or ever believe for. But such is the miracle of God's word. I mean, that's the way God's word works. And that's why we're always encouraging people, you know, get in the word of God. Because the written word basically is the history of what God has already spoken. So if you want to know what his voice sounds like, we can listen to his voice as he's speaking to other people. And when he's speaking into the lives of other people, many times he's speaking into our own lives, because guess what? Humans haven't changed a lot. Neither is the world around us. Because there's always been chaos. There's always been trouble. There always have been problems. And when we see how the people from the Old Testament and the New Testament and the written covenant of God, when we see how they live that out and how they work those things out by hearing his voice and acting on his words, then we can begin to understand this is how God works in lives. And many times, even a special word to one of those people becomes a special word to us, becomes a revelation word to us, because God is saying in our heart, what I did for them, I'll do for you. What I did for him, I'll do for you. What I'm doing for them, I'll do for you. That's how God works. He quickens his word, makes it come alive on the inside of you. We call it, sometimes we call it the rhema word. It's kind of the spoken living word of God rather than the logos word, the written history or the written word. Praise the Lord. So, even though sometimes it just seems ridiculous, just keep in your mind and in your heart, God's word always works. You must wait upon him and receive that word, and then keep it in front of you daily. Keep it in front of you all the time, that word that he gives you. Because when you do that, that revelation that's in your heart, your faith begins to take a hold of it, and it becomes a reality in your life. Praise the Lord. So just as Jacob placed those rods in front of those sheep, and they were a constant reminder of what God was doing, that word that God gives you, when you keep that in front of you, keep it in front of your eyes, keep it before your eyes, keep it in your heart, meditate on it day and night, then, as it says in the book of Joshua, you will prosper and you will have good success. In Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, my son could be my daughter. My son or my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, verse 21 says. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Another word for health is medicine to your flesh. So oftentimes when we tell people, you know, listen to the word of God, listen to the healing scriptures, what are we saying? We're saying, take some God's medicine. You know, if you went to the doctor, you'd take the medicine the doctor gave you, but here's some medicine that'll outdo every doctor in the land. God's word. It's life to you. It's medicine to your flesh. So when we take those words to heart, then we can have that revelation knowledge come and refresh our minds and refresh our hearts every day, because that word is ever in front of us. Praise the Lord. We're going to take a couple of minutes and talk about a couple of scriptures that are in your bulletin there, and then we're going to come back and finish the message. God bless you as you break up into groups. Ever notice that nothing seems to bother a drunk? You can say, sit down and quit that drinking, and the drunken person says, okay, thank you so much. But we're to be drunk in the Spirit, singing and giving thanks to the Lord. This happens when you're not in your mind and you're not in your senses, but you're in the Spirit. Get drunk and stay drunk in the Holy Spirit, and you won't have any trouble doing what the next verse tells you to do, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5:21. You might say, well, if you had to live with the person I'm married to, you couldn't stand it. Well, maybe you need to get drunk more often. Get filled with the Spirit more often. If you watch a drunken person, more than likely he is completely submissive. You can say, come here, and he says, okay. He's so drunk, he'll just do about anything. Getting drunk in the Spirit and staying drunk enables you to submit to God and to others. I had a young man once tell me a story along these lines. He said he had a hard time working. He had had several different jobs and didn't like any of his bosses. In the meantime, he had an idea for a tremendous invention. The only problem was he didn't have anyone to invest in it, so he could not build it. The man prayed about it. And God said to him, how come you never get along with any of your bosses? When the young man said he didn't know, God said, I'm going to show you how to treat your boss. The man listened to God and began treating his current boss in a godly manner. One day, his boss saw the man's invention and said, son, I'm going to put you on the map and pay for it. You'll have the funding for your invention. When you get in the Spirit, you can submit to a boss because your helper, the Holy Spirit, will provide you with revelation on how to handle the situation. Most of our problem in relationships come because we don't drink enough and stay drunk enough in the Holy Spirit. It's easy to come to church and get drunk in the Spirit. We come together and worship, and the Spirit begins to commune with us. But God would like for you to get drunk in the Spirit at home. Somebody who's serious about drinking in the natural has a little bottle at home. You just don't get drunk in the Spirit at church. You take your bottle with you. You pray in tongues at home, at work, and everywhere you go. I cannot emphasize how important it is to pray in the Spirit, because that's what keeps your spirit open to Him to communicate with you, and you with Him. As we discussed earlier, we commune with the Holy Spirit through worship, which opens us up to hear from Him, through prayer in the Spirit, which brings revelation of the deep things of God. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, the Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in the furnace and purified seven times over. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word is the truth that set us free. And we thank you, Father God, that your word is forever settled in heaven. And it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because Jesus, you are the word made flesh. You dwelt among us, and you're still dwelling among us. And we beheld and we're beholding your glory. It's the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We give you honor today and glory and praise. And we ask you, Lord, just to guide our lives and to speak into our hearts a word of revelation for 2018. Let your Holy Spirit, that precious, precious gift that you've sent to us, let your Holy Spirit speak into our hearts and to our lives every day. Let your presence fill us, Lord. Let us become inebriated on your presence, because you are ever-present help in times of trouble, Lord. So we thank you and we give you all the glory and the praise today, because you are worthy of that praise. Jesus, you paid the price for us on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, you're the greatest. You're an awesome Savior. You're a wonderful Lord. And we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.